Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll have League of Ireland Premier Division football with our preview of the weekend's action. One of the driving forces behind Tyrconnell AC, Eamon Harvey, is on the show to reflect on their success at the National Championships last weekend. Plus, we'll be speaking to Richard Kerr as he talks motorbikes and tells us about his recent victory in England. But it's with football we begin, and on this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by former Finn Harps captain, now Drogheda United defender, Keith Cowan. Tomorrow night, Friday, Finn Harps host the champions and Premier Division leaders Shamrock Rovers, while Derry City are heading to Dublin to play Bohemians. And Sligo Rovers welcome Shelburne to the showgrounds on Saturday evening. Cowan's Drogheda are in action in Dublin, looking to extend their unbeaten run to 6 games against St Patrick's Athletic. Been a few weeks since we spoke, Keith, and I suppose since the last time you were on, things have been going very well in Drogheda, unbeaten in the last 5 matches down there at United Park.
Yeah, we've kind of, I suppose, we've had that wee kind of purple patch that will be talked about. I suppose it kind of, it's the fixture that we have this week. Pats, you know, wasn't a good result for us. And then we had Harps in the following week, which we were able to get a win there. And that seems to have sort of catapulted a wee bit, gave us a bit of confidence. And then, you know, as you say, unbeaten in the last 5. Another one in there against the league leader, Shamrock Rovers, which was a big result for us, obviously. And then, you know,
did you expect that result, did you, Keith?
The Shamrock Rovers one or the Harps one?
The Shamrock Rovers one, beating the league leaders and the champions.
Not really, no. I suppose, you know, look, we have our team, we have our players, you know, we have, you know, a certain amount of confidence and we know what we're good at. I think obviously the Harps one gave us a bit of a lift on the Friday night, and obviously you have the quick turnaround with Shamrock Rovers in on the Monday, and was the way it worked out. And you just look, you think Shamrock Rovers, you think of the players they have available, they could put out 2 teams, you know, easily and make a lot of changes. They didn't make so many changes coming to us, so like they've given us that respect, and it was kind of one of those nights just where everything's went right for us as well. And you know, we felt that everyone's given, like, you know, the 8 out of 10, and you know, the keepers pulled off a couple of nice saves as well, and them going down to 10 men with about, it might have been about 20 minutes to go, you know, didn't do us any harm either. So, you know, look, I thought we very much deserved 3 points. Now, it wasn't like we were hanging on by any means, but yeah, like, that there's a massive win, and you know, when you're beating the best team in the country, it's going to give huge confidence to the team, and then it's just, again, it sort of catapulted us on a bit. And you know, again, another 3 games unbeaten, although there's a few draws in there that, you know, you would like to turn into wins, but look, at the same time, you know, we can't be too critical of ourselves. We still have that unbeaten run for a few games now.
Yeah, and at the start of the season, the way results were going, there was talk of Drogheda being involved in that mix at the bottom too, but there's now 10 points to that that bottom two, Keith, and I suppose that period over 4 days of beating Harps and then Shamrock Rovers and then draws came afterwards, this could possibly be the defining part of the season where we're not going to be involved in that, because probably 10 points now is too big for those sides below you to catch.
I'm never going to say that, because, you know, if I was in the Harps dressing room at the minute, I'd be saying, look, you know, 2 wins and, you know, you're right back up there again. So, you know, I think, yeah, the wins are hard to come by when you're in our positions, but I feel that, you know, it's still all to play for. It's a time of the season now where squads are going to try and be freshened up. You know, managers are going to try and bring in new players. You know, there's always that idea that you're trying to catch the team above you, and that always has to be the objective for whatever position you're in. If you look back to that Harps game, you know, Harps were 1-0 up in that game, and you know, that would have brought it maybe back into 4 points or something like that, had that result stayed the way it did. And again, we were down to 10 men in that game, but we managed to come away with a win. So, you know, it's the difference of 1 game or 2 games that can, you know, kind of swing those points right round. And, you know, we still have to play Harps a couple of times this year again. So, you know, they're going to be looking at those games, and, you know, the UCD games, no respect to them, they're always difficult games as well. So it's a league as well where, you know, where teams are picking up points where you don't really expect them to. So Harps are by no means out of it. UCD are by no means out of it. So, yes, there is that gap there, but I think, you know, everyone has to just remain, you know, take it week by week, looking to pick off the team above them and trying to, you know, close that gap wherever they can.
You guys are only 4 points off top six, Keith, which is still very much achievable.
Yeah, look, that's what you have to think about. You know, there's no point saying, oh, it's impossible, or, you know, it's not. You know, yeah, we believe in what we have down there is a very good team. You know, we've gelled really well together. You know, we're resilient as a group. You can see that by maybe some of the results that we've got. But yeah, look, we're always looking up. We have to, you know, you have to be positive in that way, and, you know, try and finish as high as you can. But I think we'll do that at the end of the season. We'll just be happy. We'll just see where we are now. Take it week by week. Try and get 3 points on the board wherever we can. And, you know, by the end of the season, then we'll see where we are.
Yeah, obviously the teams coming into the summer break, there was a lot of them were glad to get the break. Maybe the likes of Derry City, who weren't in the form that they were at the start of the season. But on the flip side of that, maybe the break came at the wrong time for Drogheda, because you were in such a good run, Keith.
Yeah, you know, as I say, like when you're winning games, you don't really want anything to upset that momentum. And again, it was that quick succession where I think we had three games in a week. You know, we had Harps, we had Shamrock Rovers, and then we had to travel to Dalymount to play Bows. That was a match where we went behind and we got back in level, and then we were maybe disappointed that we didn't win it after our second half display. Derry seemed to have steadied the ship again. After, you know, maybe it was, I think it might have been seven games without a win, which is not really the form that they would want to be taken into to the second half of the season. They picked up a 1-0 win last week away to UCD with a Will Patchen penalty, who's been brilliant for them this season. They have probably been their standout player. I think they'll be looking to turn a corner now. And, you know, they've got a game this week where you would think that they'd be looking to, you know, obviously Bowes is a difficult place to go. But, you know, they went there early in the season and won 2-1. So they'll be looking to do the same this weekend.
Yeah, and from Drogheda's point of view, you have St. Pat's this week, Dundalk, big derby, the game after that, and then Bohemians. So the games are coming thick and fast for you, so they are, Keith.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I suppose, as I mentioned there earlier, there are no easy games in this league. There just isn't. Yes, you know, you can see that maybe the divide between, you know, maybe say the bottom three or four teams, even half the table there, probably much that you could look at it. But there is no easy games, you know, as I said there just before. Derry traveling to UCD and having a penalty, a 1-0 win, and, you know, you see the points difference is massive. Derry on 37 points and UCD have 9. So, you know, as I said, there are no easy games. Yes, we have a game now this week, which is, you can see, Pats after last weekend, after going to Balfour and throwing away a 2-0 lead, and then, you know, Rovers beating them at home in the derby on Monday night. So they'll be under pressure, you might think, to maybe get a win. But at the same time, it's a game where we've gone there in the season and got a point. So, you know, we'll be hoping to try and get another point and maybe three if everything goes well for us.
Yeah. Let's look at the Harps situation. Shamrock Rovers at home at Finn Park. Obviously a very, very difficult team to beat, but Drogheda have beaten Shamrock Rovers already this season. Can Harps do that? Is that possible at all on Friday night, Keith?
Absolutely. You know, I think Harps have shown, obviously last week, you know, been a standout point for them. And, you know, when the game is, you know, a lot of people would have said the game was gone. Pat's made four subs in the last 10 minutes to maybe, you know, try and freshen legs and, you know, keep a few players a bit fresher for Monday night, which maybe they thought was the game, and, you know, that they were going to be tested most in, especially being 2-0 ahead. But Harps have shown, you know, massive resilience to come back and, you know, a real spirit to, you know, to keep plugging away. And, you know, I think teams know when they go to Balfour. I know, obviously, even going down to Drogheda now and, you know, speaking to other players around the league, like, teams don't like going to Balfour. They just don't like it because they know it's going to be a battle. They know it's going to be a lot of, you know, defending corners and long throws and, you know, set pieces. And, you know, and that's tough, especially when a lot of teams in the league like to get the ball and like to play and like to, you know, kind of have it a more tidier affair. But look, they've shown that they can take points against big teams. You know, Carrillo with a goal and Ethan Boyle with a header right at the death. You know, I think if Harps can keep it tight, and just I think it's about staying in the game. You know, yes, they come back and, you know, after being 2-0 down with 10 minutes to go and get a 2-2 draw, which is great. But, you know, you can't be doing that every week. You know, those are kind of one-off type performances. And maybe me saying that now, they might go and do it again this week. But I think that if they can remain in the game, if they can frustrate Shamrock Rovers, and that means just, you know, staying focused, staying switched on for the entirety of the game, you know, plugging those gaps, you know, moving together, loads of communication, you know, and then just pressing them, you know, when they get the opportunity, you know, that you can maybe try and nick one from a set piece or you know, maybe a lapse in concentration at the back for them, because, you know, they'll have big games coming up now. They have Europe on their mind as well. So, you know, this might be an opportunity to catch them a wee bit cold. They played on Monday night, as I mentioned there. Rovers played Pats. So, you know, they have the idea of the whole professionalism and, you know, be able to recover properly and all that. But look, there's an opportunity for Harps to, you know, to nick something if they're right and if they do everything properly.
Yeah, you've been in the Ollie Horgan dressing room, so you have, and I know, speaking to Ollie through the years, conceding first is something that he doesn't like in matches when Harps have to chase matches or chase games. He'll be banging away at that drum again after the performance the last night and telling his guys to make sure they don't concede first on Friday.
Yes, he will. Of course he will. But I think, you know, that's not just an Ollie Horgan thing. I think that'll go for every manager in the league. You know, that conceding, I think it's about maybe not conceding, but it's conceding early. I think that conceding early, because I suppose the game plan goes out the window. You know, I think for Harps on Friday night, it'll be about remaining in the game. You know, try not to give them a 2-goal head start this time, or, you know, or whatever it might be. But sometimes, again, you know, with that goal or with that early goal, it sometimes takes the pressure off teams. And you see teams that, you know, at times, you know, once they go a goal behind, then they actually start to play, because, you know, they have to. A lot of times it's about, you know, I suppose if it's 0-0, you have something to hold on to. But if it's, you know, if you're 1-0 down, then you have to go, you have to go after the game. You have to chase the game. So that's when a lot of teams can actually, you know, with that pressure off, they can go and play and they can put in better performances and, you know, ultimately score maybe a different type of goal that isn't, you know, from a set piece.
Yeah, I know we touched on Derry early on, and Derry's form hasn't been, as we mentioned, at the start of the season. I'm quite sure Derry City manager Rory Higgins has sort of fed up listening to at this stage, even though they needed a penalty against UCD the last day to take victory. A couple of tweaks and maybe an injured player back can make all the difference. And you know yourself, you've been involved in teams, Keith, when you get into a sort of rut, it's hard to get out of, but all it takes is a tweak or two to do that. And it's just finding, I suppose, the right combination for that to happen.
Yeah, you know, I suppose when you look at the start of the season, you know, Derry were taking up, you know, getting results, but getting them late on in games, you know, so they were staying in games, or, you know, they were controlling games. They were, you know, getting to the latter stages, injury time, you know, getting injury time winners. And you kind of think, you know, is that sustainable for the rest of the season? Ultimately, it is difficult to do that. Look, there's no one doubt on the quality that Derry have, the players that they have available, you know, the players that they brought in. You know, Gian McGonigal is leading scorer in the league. I think Patchen might be third. So, you know, you've got two of the top scorers, first and third. You know, so they've got the quality, they've got everything right, but just something isn't, for some reason, and I know they have a couple of injuries at the moment as well. But, you know, something just isn't clicking for them at the moment. And, you know, with those lads coming back in, I'm sure they'll be able to get things, you know, back up and running the way they want them to get everyone on the field and get playing it the way they have been.
Yeah, okay. We mentioned already Drogheda, your own club, against St. Pat's and Dundalk playing UCD. You'll be keeping a close eye on Saturday night, Sligo Rovers against Shelburne, two of the teams that Drogheda are chasing down as well, Keith. And as we mentioned, you're just, what, 3 points off Shelburne, four points off Bowes, and 7 off fifth place Sligo Rovers. So if Derry was to beat Bowes and Sligo and Shelburne was to draw on Saturday night, and you guys were to beat Pats, that would be a good weekend, would it, Keith?
That'd be a great weekend. A lot of ups and buts in there, actually, to be quite honest. Yeah, look, if that'd be great, yeah. Look, I think, you can't be looking too far ahead with that there. Obviously, look, we'll have one eye in that game as well to see how that goes. You know, we played Sligo last week and a 0-0 at home, and maybe disappointed that we didn't get a bit more. It wasn't a great game for the spectator, but definitely, you know, there was opportunities. Maybe both teams might be saying the exact same thing, as there wasn't much in the game, but, you know, near the end, there was a couple of chances for each team, and, you know, again, frustrated on both sides that none of them were taken, I'm sure, but I suppose maybe a point isn't a bad result, especially after getting beat earlier in the season by Sligo. And I suppose look at that Sligo game this week. Shell's travelling up there. Shell's beat them at home earlier in the season, so, you know, Sligo will be wanting to put that right. Obviously, new manager coming in there as well, so Matt Russell will be looking to, you know, try and, I suppose, get them moving forward, you know, putting his own stamp on things. You know, they have Europe coming up now as well. So, yeah, big couple of weeks for Sligo. And I think a draw there, I think I'd be happy with a draw, just if we could sort of keep the whole thing ticking over that way.
Yeah, just finally, I never asked you about your own form. Are you happy with how you've been performing with Drogheda, particularly in that 5-game unbeaten run, Keith?
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, actually I played the Harps game, I played the Shamrock Rovers game, and then I picked up a bit of a niggle in the Bows game. So I've been sort of nursing that for the past week or two. So I've sort of, hopefully this week now, I'll be back in contention for a spot. I think it's maybe just the quick turnaround in games, that maybe a bit of travelling that was happening up with that. But like I say, I've been very happy with the way it's been going. You know, speaking to the manager and that there, and, you know, we're both happy with the move. I suppose when you never know how it's going to go, but he says he's delighted with it. You know, I'm really happy with the way it's gone so far, and, you know, it just says to be back playing football and the League of Ireland. It's really something that I didn't think was something that I'll be looking to do, but I'm delighted that the move came about, and with the way it's gone, you know, just so far, touch wood, everything's been going great.
Good stuff. Well, he's not planning on getting rid of you then during the transfer window?
Well, hope not. You never know. I don't think there's any big money moves. I'll be keeping an eye on Sky Sports, but I don't see anything happening thus far.
All right, listen, Keith, it's always good to see you, and good to catch up, and the best of luck at the football at the weekend.
Cheers, Ashton. Thank you.
There you have it, Mr. Keith Cowan on this week's League of Ireland chat. And don't forget, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock is the kickoff time. Fun Harps against Shamrock Rovers. Jim O'Doherty will have updates here on Highland as from the kickoff time from that one tomorrow evening. Other local fixtures this coming weekend on the Gaelic Games front. The club action in the county starts tomorrow night with more hurling championship matches being played at both senior and junior level. I suppose the big game among the four ties in the senior hurling championship is the meeting of the past two winners, St Union's against Satanta. That one starts at 7:30 at the O'Donnell Park tomorrow evening, a Friday. It is seen as these two sides once again might quite possibly be meeting in the decider come later in the campaign. As for the other three games, McCool's play Burt, Dunlow take on Arua Ballyshannon, and Cairn Donagh are up against Buncrana, while in the junior hurling championship it's Letterkenny Gaels against St Union's. There is, of course, matches to be played football-wise in the all-county leagues from Division 1 through to Division 4 over the course of a Saturday and a Sunday. And I suppose the standout tie is on Sunday evening at David Brennan Memorial Park at 6 o'clock with the defending league champions Niamh Connell playing host to the championship winners from last year in the form of St Union's. It's going to be another busy weekend with games over 2 days being played in the all-county leagues. On the cricket front, there's a huge game on Friday at Eglinton. It's in the 50-over Interprovincial Cup. The North West Warriors are playing host to the Munster Reds. It's a case winner takes all in this one. A win for the Warriors would see them claim the title, while any other result would mean that the Reds would win the Interprovincial Cup. But the Warriors looking to make home advantage count tomorrow. It starts 10:45 a.m. Hopefully they'll get the weather for it. And there is, of course, games to be played in the 40-over leagues on Saturday as well, with games to come in both Group A and indeed in Group B. Now, to motorsport. Donegal rider Richard Kerr is still savouring his first ever win in the UK after his victory at Knockhill this month. His maiden win came after 8 seasons competing across the water in the National Superstock Championship, which is the support series to the British Superbike Championship. riding on his AMD Motorsport Honda. He crossed the line first by just 0.023 of a second. Richard joined me in studio this week to talk about that one and his hopes on building on it.
Yeah, definitely still buzzing about it. It was a long time coming, you can say, but everyone wants to win, and we've been over there. We've finished second loads of times and got podiums, but it took us our eighth season over there to finally get a win in the Superstock 1000 class. So it took a while to come, but it's here now, and it's definitely just enjoying the moment at the minute, but hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah, and listen, you've won it on probably the most competitive bike you've ever been on and probably the fastest bike you've ever been on. Is that fair to say?
It's definitely the fastest. I mean, yeah, the bike's over 200 brake and it's doing 180 mile an hour, so it's definitely not lacking speed, but it's just as good as the rest of the bikes, and that's what you need to be able to run at that sharp end. And with it being a stock bike, it doesn't take much to you're not allowed to tune it much anyway, so it leaves the playing field very even, and it just gives everyone the same chance. Of it's just down to the better rider to get the job done.
And going on to Knock Hill, you put on a good performance the previous out in Donington, where you had a fifth and a third. Were you confident then going into Knock Hill that you could take a podium, and if not a podium, you could take that outright one?
I definitely, the confidence was better. I just, at the start of the year, it was a slow start, and then when the results started to come, I started getting more comfortable on the bike, and it was sort of the first time I had confidence, good confidence with the bike, because I knew right, I'm very close now. I'm within a couple of tenths off the podium spot. So just then, when you have that target ahead of you, and you just push that a little bit harder, and then it clicks and you realize you can do it. So the confidence was definitely there, and we had a successful test at Knock Hill. We're within 2 tenths off the lap record. So I knew then going into the race that we were going to be there or thereabouts. And my first practice I took part in, I was quickest and went second in qualifying. So I knew straight away that we were going to be there in the race.
Yeah. So the win didn't come as a surprise to you then?
Well, after race one, it was a bit of a surprise, because race one I led it for half the race, and between back markers and a bit of off-roading on the grass, I ended up only fourth, and fourth was a real good result, but I was disappointed with myself. But I never said that to anyone. I just kept it to myself and sort of said, well, I could do better, and just thank goodness we have a second race, so we can change all that around. So it was a shock, but it wasn't like unexpected. I always had sort of that belief in myself.
Yeah. And it was a tight race, the second race. Now, what was in it in the end? 0.023 seconds, Richard, is what I have in front of me. And at 180 mile an hour, there's nothing on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was out of the last corner. I was lying second, and I just got a good drive up the hill, up the start-finish straight, and there was literally half a wheel in it. So it was mostly like my team and all on the TV cameras, like the screens, they couldn't see if I had it or not. And even the lap time, I didn't know it was a photo finish, but
did you know?
Yeah, I got a quick glimpse to Billy on my right. And I was just, normally, like whenever I'm watching other races, I'm like, oh, how could you tell? But when you're in the moment, like you're doing well over 100 mile an hour, and it feels like everything's slow motion. So it was just, it was one of the moments I didn't know what to do once I knew I had it.
Yeah. And once you then got back to the paddock and got off the bike, did it settle in then that, right, you've got this first one here? It's been a long time coming. It's a first in England and across in the UK. And was there, I suppose, the emotions at the time, obviously joy, excitement, celebration, but was there relief there as well?
There was definitely the joy and excitement. And you can see my whole team, how happy they were, and my sponsors and people that we know were congratulating me, and that it was sort of like it was a lot to take in. Like, I was fine with it, but my head was like having half a conversation with people because there were so many things going through it. But it was definitely, it was like, I've won races at home in Ireland, and but they're nothing, they're a bit easier. Not easy one, they're still quick riders, but they're a lot not as near the same level of competition over there. So to finally get one over there, it's sort of like, you're the man for that moment anyway, at least. And normally it's always been second best, third best, but I know, and you've done better than the rest, and for that time anyway, it's a great feeling.
Listen, it's all changed for you this year as well. You've got a new team, you're on board with the AMD Motorsport, and obviously it's taken you a bit of time with the bike, and it takes you time to adjust with a new team as well, and guys around you, Richard, but it's all starting to click now, so it is.
Definitely is. Last year was the first year of AMD Motorsport, and we had good result runs. Best result was a seventh, and at that time, a seventh was, you know, it felt like a podium because, you know, we're finishing 15th some of the races, some races further back, and to get up into the top 10 was a good result. But this year, with the experience of myself on the bigger bike and the team knowing a bit more about the bike, and we have a new man, Simon Bleasdale, crew chief for me, bringing his experience to fine-tune the bike, it's just like all the small things that everyone doesn't see behind the scenes are just coming together, and they're giving me the bike that you need to be able to do the job. So it's making my life a bit easier.
Yeah, yeah. And you continue to work hard, even though the last race was several weekends ago at Knockcullen. The next one's not until July 22nd. You're still out testing that bike. You were over in England in the early part of this week, so there's still lots of work going on.
Oh, there'll always be work. Like, you can never say, oh, you've got your first win and then you want to keep winning, because everyone has their strong and weak tracks and everyone's getting faster as the year goes on. So you need to keep, you know, just after that, reset the mind and just prepare to, you know, learn a new track, get up to speed again and hit the ground running.
Yeah, but it does give you another level of confidence going into the second half of the season, Richard.
It definitely does. I mean, I'm now lying sick from the championship and I'm only 26 points off the leader. So, you know, you get 25 points for a win and then 20 for second. So I need to be getting a lot of wins to claw that back. But if you go back to the start of the season, I was lying 13th and I was 63 points behind the leader. So we're getting back a lot of points and, you know, I'm finishing all the races, being consistent enough. And so I just need to keep that going, simple as that.
Yeah. Brands Hatch is up next now on the 22nd of July. Is that a circuit that you can go well on?
Well, last year definitely wasn't my best circuit. We've had four races there last year and managed not to score any points. But like I said, this year I've been riding a lot better. And so it could be a great weekend or it could be a disaster. You just have to go in with an open mind. But I believe I will definitely be pushing for a podium.
Yeah. And then for the rest of the championship, what's left for the rest of the year? And what do you feel will be maybe the circuits that you can get a possible repeat performance?
I'm looking forward to them all. There's no real brands, according to, like, last year was my weakest track, but I had a lot of weak tracks last year compared to this year. So I think, be it just riding a bit better, I don't think I have to worry. But, you know, you can ride great all weekend and have a silly, you know, crash or be wiped out. So I'm confident for all the tracks. I mean, last year, even though I was only maybe running 15th, you're still within a second off lap record pace. Sometimes it's that close, you're only looking half a second a lap. And I've definitely had that this year. I mean, our test at Donington there on Tuesday, my race pace was a lot better than last year. So, and we only got half a day's testing in. So definitely more room for improvement. Definitely feeling good, you know, and thanks to all the team, obviously, for keeping the wheels turning.
Yeah, keeping the wheels turning, a huge effort going in. But I think off the back of the last two weekends, Richard, I know speaking to other people that's involved in motorsport, they know that you're a talented guy on the bike, but with your performances over the previous two rounds, maybe a lot more people know about Richard Kerr now, do they?
I don't know. Well, I say getting a bit better publicity, and whenever, like, all our races are in Eurosport, and when you're running at the back or mid-pack, you don't be shown, but when you're obviously close to the front, the camera's catchy, so it's good for everyone that, you know, everyone watches, all my family and sponsors and friends watch, you know, and normally they watch the full races and never miss a race and never once see me on the TV, but now at least they have something to watch.
Very good. And listen, you're back on the bike again, as we said, in Brands Hatch, but before that, you're closer to home, and it's the first time we're going to race in Ireland in, is it 3 years? Is that right, Richard? So tell us about that.
Aye. So we have a bit of a break now. We had a 4-week break for the BSB. So we done that test on Tuesday and then thought, sure, there's a 2-day event in Bishop's Court in Downpatrick. So thought it'd be good practice, just get some laps in. And first time I've raced over here now in 3 years. So it'd be nice to hopefully have some of the locals and catch up with them again and see, well, show off if I can get a win or not, I don't know. But I'll show what I've learnt over in England, hopefully put it to good use at Bishop's Court.
You'll be a marked man now in Bishop Court, because you're coming in with the number one on your back after the one in Knockhill, so they'll be looking to beat you.
Well, maybe, yeah, but yeah. I know Alex Sealy, he's doing all the winning at the minute, so he's the local favourite, you could say, so, and everyone's probably, you know, I've never raced there on a big bike, so have a lot of learning to do, but hopefully I can give him a race, and if not, beat him. But he'll want to beat me just as bad.
Yeah. And just finally, listen, you've been involved in bikes and all your life, and you grew up around your father who was involved with bikes. You're on one of the support rounds of the BSB, the British Superbike Championship. Down the line in your career at the top end, is that something that's achievable to race on for you, Richard? Do you feel?
Oh, 100%. Well, I'm on a Honda Fireblade, and we have sort of the main opposition, I could say, Billy McConnell and Brian Elliott, they're also on Honda Fireblade. So Honda sort of announced at the beginning of the year that, you know, if you win the championship on Honda, you'd be almost certain to get a Honda Superbike ride. And, you know, that's sort of the deal. It doesn't always happen like that. But I think, you know, I mean, I'd be nearly certain if I was able to win a championship, I'd have a good shot of stepping up to the Superbikes. But, you know, it all depends on what seats are available in the and teams, and everyone in my class, they're all have that target, and I know everyone that's running near the front, they're all of their mindset on a superbike ride, and it's just a matter of who can get the best results and who can, do you know, stand out the most.
Yeah, well, hopefully come the end of the season, I mean, you're chatting that it's Richard Kerr's at the top of the pile, but we'll see how it pans out over the next number of rounds. Thanks for coming in. Congratulations on your win. You've waited a long time, as we said, 8 years for it, or 8 seasons for it to come. We hope you build on it, and the best of luck with the rest of the season, Richard.
All right, thanks for having me, Oisin.
Richard Kerr talking bikes and looking for more success in the UK. Now, in our athletics segment this week, we're focusing on Tyrconnell AC. The club have continued to make huge strides at underage level, and just last week the club won 2 of the 5 national titles which came to the county from the Senior Track and Field Championships in Dublin. Eamon Harvey is a founding member of Tyrconnell and one of the driving forces at the club. Well, Eamon, it's been a while since we had you in Highland. You're welcome back to the airwaves of the north side of the county.
Thanks very much. Oisin, it's been a while since I've been talking to you, all right, on the air or anywhere else, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, listen, good to talk to you again, Shirley. And I'm going to talk to you about a period now of Tyrconnell AC. Things are going very well, Eamon. We'll start with the National Senior Championships last week. You sent six athletes to the Morton Stadium. 2 gold, 1 silver, 1 bronze, and a number of fourth places as well. Not a bad return from the athletes that headed to Santry.
A very good weekend's work, to be fair. Yes, the National Seniors last Saturday and Sunday. And just before I would refer to our own athletes, and I say our own Tyrconnell athletes, it was a very good weekend for Donegal athletes in general, with lots of good performance from Lifford athletes, Lifford Saban, and from Finn Valley athletes. But on our own, I suppose, we had 2 gold medal winners. That had been Kelly McGrory, who in the 400-metre hurdles ran a very, very good time of 57.22, very close to European B standard, actually, in that event. She was retaining her title. In the final, she was very, very impressive and went to the front very early and came off the final then, and would have won by maybe something like a second or whatever. Young girl as well from here would have been Lucy McLennan. Lucy would have, who's just 70 years of age, would have finished third in that final as well, and would have got her time would have got her a qualification for the World Junior, which has been held in Colombia. She's got 2 qualifications for that. That was tremendous. She was also 4th in the short hurdles. Conan Mahan, very, very impressive, and then the triple jump, and with a very impressive leap of 14.68 meters, very close to, in fact, better than Niall Sweeney's county records, but was wind assisted. But he won that event on his last jump. In fact, that was so close that it'll go back to the second best jumps. Conan getting the verdict there. Then with a young lady from down in Southwest Donegal, down Glencullen Kilkill, Siobhan Doherty, got a silver medal in the 5K walk, and we were quite impressed with. And then Owen Sharkey made a final as well, and he finished 7th in the 400-metre hurdles final. So it was quite a good weekend for those athletes, and we're obviously delighted for them.
Yeah, super weekend, surely. Eamon, and I suppose in your role as coaching officer and being sort of the driving force behind Tyrconnell, all the hard work that you've put in over the last number of years and the lead-up to the championship certainly paid off.
Well, yeah, I would have a role in the club as well as coaching officer, you say, but I wouldn't be the main source of coaching within the club. We'd also have 5 or 6 other coaches that do a hell of a lot of work as well behind the scenes. As I say, the quiet heroes in all clubs are out on Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday mornings and what have you to support the athletes. So, yes, I have a nice role in the club as coaching officer, but we're supported by five, six other very, very able coaches as well here within the club. And it's a great response, because all these athletes are all local. They've all grown up. They've all come through the juvenile club as 12, 13, 14-year-olds. And here we are now at senior level winning medals, which is nice.
Yeah. Can Kelly McGrory get that European qualification in the next number of weeks, can't she?
She's going to take a few opportunities. She'll get a few opportunities, all right. She's within 0.18 seconds of that qualification, and she certainly will avail of a few opportunities now in the next few weeks. And I think she can. Hopefully she can, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully she can make it through. And as you mentioned as well, yep. Lucy McGlynn, she's heading to Colombia in early August. She's now got that mark on two occasions. And we can't forget about Fintan Durst, who's heading off to the European Junior Championship. So it's you've got athletes going on the international stage. So you have, Eamon?
That's correct, yeah. We're delighted, obviously, for Lucy, who is just 18 years of age. Not 18 yet, and then she's will be competing in the Under-20 World Junior. An incredible opportunity. She'll probably be on the Aries 4x4 team as well. For that, she's in the squad there. But just to individually qualify for that is a tremendous achievement at her age. And she keeps improving all the time, has had massive improvements this year. She would have went and... let's go back to last summer, would have recorded a very high point score in multi-events. She's a very good heptathlete as well, good all-round athlete, and then she decided she would focus come the winter and what have you on hurdles, short hurdles, which she has got her time right down to 14. She's within 0.05 of a second as well of qualification in the short hurdles for tremendous. And then, of course, you mentioned Fintan Dewhurst. Fintan's just a 17-year-old, and he's one of a number of very good juveniles we have here in the club at the minute. In fact, there was 10 of those juveniles representing Ulster schools last Friday and in the interprovincial, which was held down in Tullamore. But I suppose there's not really right to focus on one. But I mean, Fintan's been incredible this last month. He ran a qualification for the European Under 18s above at Ulster, the Ulster Seniors actually, where he ran 54.5 for 400 hurdles, and then he got an international invite then to go out to Frankenville in Paris the following week, where he ran an incredibly good time for a senior, but a very good time for a young athlete of 52.9 seconds. And then, of course, that got him on the plane, as the same goes to where he heads off tomorrow morning. And there's another Donegal guy joining him there from Lifford Saban, a guy called Finn O'Neill. Finn's joining him. He's going out there in the decathlon and so on. Okay. So and then when Finn comes back and when Fintan come back, both of them are on the Irish schools team, which compete in the home countries international on the 16th of July above in Belfast. So Fintan has had a great season, but he had three internationals all within a period of 3-4 weeks now, which is incredible.
Yeah, incredible, surely. And listen, if we go down through the years, Tyr Connell have always had national champions, and they've always had athletes representing at international level. How do you keep them high standards at a level for so long and keep it going? As I suppose the crop of athletes change all the time, but the standards are still very high, Eamon.
The crop of athletes change all the time, and I suppose Tyr Connell Club is in existence, maybe an amalgamation of South Donegal Harriers, but it's an amalgamation of three juvenile clubs back 25 years ago. And I suppose we would have had an incredibly successful period during the noughties when the club would have won three ladies national league titles, and would have been in Europe on three occasions. And but a crop of people keep going on. The big challenges we have mentioned, juvenile athletes and young athletes, is to take them through to senior level. That's the big challenge. But to answer your question, I suppose it's on the ground. We've got so many people coaching on the ground. That's the big one. That, you know, there's so much help on the ground, and so you know you need three things to be probably a good athlete. One is you need, I suppose, a bit of talent, and two, you need support from parents and whatever. But you also need coaching, and so we're really fortunate at the minute we have a very good support coaching structure in the club, and that's a big help to take athletes and to hold on to athletes as well.
Yeah, and it's not going to stop in the next couple of weeks. There's juniors and under 23 national competitions to come as well. Well, the club will be looking to thrive on.
Well, athletics is supposed to be the same as all clubs in Donegal at the minute. We're basically looking forward now to National Juveniles, which are on this weekend. It's two parts of them on this weekend. Children's Games are on, and of the 14th and 19th are on in Tullamore. And the second part of that's on the following weekend. And then you will move into National Junior and National Under 23s the following weekend. So it's quite a busy time. Understatement. Yeah. It's the busiest time of the year for athletes. Yeah.
How do you keep going, Eamon? Because obviously you're in the heart of Tyr Connell, but you're also involved in national committees as well through year. So you're just as busy as the athletes.
I don't know about that. Well, I still enjoy been retired from work, but still enjoy coaching 3 and 4 times a week. And I'm, as you say, I'm involved in 2 national committees. I'm involved in high performance, member of high performance committee, and I'm also involved in coaching and development, which is really my bread and butter, which my heart's in, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you keep going, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Just finally then, we better mention your 10K, the run and walk is coming up this coming Sunday as well, so does Eamon.
That's correct. We have a 10K here in Donegal Town. Got a good entry at the moment, actually, and we've been running in conjunction with the local festival. There's a music festival on here all weekend. And in fact, we're inviting people to come along maybe and have a run in the morning and then enjoy the rest of the festival for the day. It starts at 10:30. Registrations are open from 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's from athletes that have run it before. It's quite a good course. Circular course starts near the Abbey Vocational School and finishes at the track at the Abbey Vocational School. So looking forward for and inviting as many people from all over the county and all over the northwest to come along and enjoy the weekend in Donegal Town and maybe participate in a race.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Eamon, it's been a while, but it was good to talk to you. Good to have you back in the airwaves of Highland again, and we wish you all the best with your continued success at Tyrconnell.
Thanks very much, and thanks for having me, Oisin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to catch up with Eamon Harvey there talking about Tyrconnell AC. Just finally this evening, on the American football front, this Saturday, the 2nd of July, the rough and tumble of the sport returns to the Northwest. The Donegal Derry Vipers youth training gets up and running at the City of Derry Rugby Grounds this coming Saturday. Gets underway at 10 a.m. and it's open to anyone aged between 15 and 18, boys and girls. So if you're interested in American football and you're within that age bracket, be it a boy or a girl, and you want to get involved, go onto the website, ddvipers.com, and sign up for the Vipers is the link that you need to look for there. There'll be more details on their Facebook page as well, as they look to continue to build from strength to strength in the Northwest on the American football front. And that's it from The Score for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Our next sport here in Highlands tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday, enjoy it and have a good one. Good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.